Okay, praise the Lord. It's good to be back. This has become my home away from home. Amen. And it's always good to be with you and minister unto you. I have the privilege of, just bringing my sisters to Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene. And I just thought, I spoke to Pastor Wayne a couple of months ago, just saying, you know what, Joan and her organization, were the recipients of the Little Dresses for Africa. It will be neat to put a face to this whole process, right? And that's exactly why we are here to share with you and how your church impacted Cape Town, South Africa. We spoke about how the church is a global church, you know. It's just, and this song that we just sang speaks about, we speak to the nations. And it speaks about we need to fall on our knees. The scripture in the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And he is indeed Lord, not of the church, but of our individual lives as well. So we're going to have an interactive session, and please bear with us. We are just overwhelmed with what God is doing through your church, in Cape Town and all around. So we have a slideshow as we go along. Just follow us and be patient with us, okay? Joan has been in ministry. Her husband has been in ministry, a retired Nazarene pastor, and served this church well. Over how many years, Joan?
45 years.
So you have to speak into the microphone. Yeah, you have to speak in the microphone, unfortunately, okay. Right? 45 years, right? And he's a retired minister. So before we get to Joan, my sister Angie seems to be very quiet, but do not be deceived, okay?
Not at all.
We share a special bond in that a couple of years ago, I was at the office and I received this distress call, and her company contacted me at work, and they asked me to come and pick her up. She needed to go to the hospital immediately. So that's what I did, because we love each other, right? That's what I did. And so we took her to hospital, and they immediately scheduled her for surgery, and they diagnosed her with a tumor on the brain. And but it's just amazing the recovery that she made. Amen. And the praise of the family of God and the body of believers, how she recovered. And today she's with us, right?
Amen.
And that is just by the grace of God. So, Joan, we came to the Church of the Nazarene by invitation. And I shared that story with you a couple of months ago. By invitation, my aunt invited us. And with the whole family just gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have been in ministry for quite some time. Your husband has been in ministry. Your husband was Muslim.
Yes, he was.
Before the Lord called him. How did that come about, and how did he get into ministry?
This is a very, very long story, also very sad. That's going to be part of what I'm about to share. God answers prayer. So I'm going to answer that when I share with it.
All right. Okay. That's good enough. Okay. Right. So the Mifflin Church of the Nazarene, the people here were so generous in donating over 200, I think it was 250 mm-hmm. items. And we shipped it, my wife and I, we shipped it from here to Philadelphia, from Philadelphia to Cape Town, South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it was a journey, right?
Yes.
A journey from Mifflinburg, USA to Cape Town, South Africa. And that's how God connects us,
yes.
Right? And Joan, can you explain to us how this gift from the church impacted your organization? But we want to focus on the little people that were the recipients of these dresses. And if you could go to the next slide. So this is, you remember this suitcase, right? The leather suitcase, right? It has made multiple journeys to Cape Town. And this is where we unpacked it, and it was just amazing. So Joan, how did this, first of all, impact your life, the Little Dresses for Africa program? How did it impact the lives of the ladies that you are working with, and how did it impact the children that were the recipients of these dresses?
First of all, I would like to say a big thank you for all the ladies involved sewing those dresses. And it's just amazing how God answers prayer. Working with women that does not earn and does not have an income, and that is why I teach him arts and crafts in order to earn an income. And just before God answered our prayers with these beautiful dresses, one morning when I came to the club where our ladies gather, and I saw a woman sitting on the pavement in front of the door of the club, in front of the entrance, and she sat there with a little baby, and I always saw her. And I asked her, now, when did you give birth to the baby, and where did you give birth? And I become very emotional, you know, when I share the story. And she said, I gave birth in front of your door, in front of your door. And just around the corner of where we gather, she put up a little, just with blankets and sheeting, and that is where she lived. And God is so amazing. And there I started praying, Lord, because we are a non-profitable organization and totally dependent on donations. I prayed and I said, Lord, please open up a door so that I can impact these women's lives. And it's no use seeing the need and you cannot, you know, meet their needs. And receiving these dresses and donating them, Pastor Will, you will never know what that did in my life, and especially the women that I work with and distributing these dresses. And I shared with my brother, I said, some of the women especially in the court, and you'll see where they live later on, and they did not care of them. They were standing outside, and they took the dresses, and they put it on. And the children, I wish you could see. You could have seen the faces when those dresses were handed over to them. And that impacted my life even in a bigger way.
Right. Bigger way. Speaking about the children, because the focus and the emphasis are on these little ones. For most of these children, if you could just go to the slide where there's the living conditions of these children. If you could just forward it to the next slide. So what happens is, the place where you have distributed these dresses, there were four areas, right?
Yes.
Four areas, and it is area called Belleville, The Range, Epping Forest, and what was the last
Goodwood.
One? Goodwood, right?
Yeah.
So the living conditions is not as fortunate. Unfortunately, it's not the best, right? And so with a high unemployment rate, these little gifts that they have received were the only gift that they have received in years, right?
Yes.
So, and obviously, this is the type of area that you have distributed these dresses. High unemployment rate, crime rate, and all kinds of things. But coming to that court, the area that you have distributed these dresses, you know, children running up to you and just receiving these. What were their responses when you handed out these little dresses to them?
Their responses, I wish you could have seen that. It's they could not thank me enough for what they have received. And they took their little dresses. They didn't even allow me to take a picture. And they ran to their moms, to their parents. And I said, no, you must come back. I want to take a picture of you. That's how excited they were. And receiving those dresses, they called some other, they called other girls also to come and receive, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Right. And so part of your ministry is also dealing with women that were abused and even young ladies that were abused. And how did this ministry come about? And obviously they were part of the handing out of these dresses and all everything, right? It's just amazing the circle in which God works, right? You have a group of ladies that were unemployed. They were abused. They were homeless, right? your organization empowers them, and now they do exactly what they have gone through, and they can identify with these children, right? So the ladies that you are working with, tell us more about them and how God is using that organization.
Our theme is impacting each other's lives, and just what they have seen, what I am doing. God has really opened up their eyes, and the little that I've taught them, that is exactly what they are doing. I just want to make an example of one lady. She comes from Rwanda, and I invited her to come and see what we are doing, and she saw, you know, how the compassion and the passion that you people have, just handed, giving out clothes and making these dresses. And she came to the club, and we taught her how to do certain things. And today she is busy with her own business, with her own business. But you know what is so amazing? We are not just impacting people's lives. We are also winning them for Christ. And she has become a member of our church. And every year, I think it's every 6 months, she has to go to renew a permit. And every time she goes, then it's extended for a longer and a longer period, and that is how amazing God is. I have a Muslim woman also with us, and seeing what we are busy doing, when I share the devotions, she interacts with us, and that to me is a great blessing.
Right. So the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene has contributed over 250 pieces. I remember the first batch was 133 dresses, and then the second batch with some little socks and all kinds of things. So this church impacted over 250 children, little ones, right? And sometimes we do not see the results, and we don't know what God is going to do in all of this, right? But people are watching the church and what they are doing, right? People are watching Christians and what we are doing, right? What would you say to the church here in Mifflinburg with the project that they are busy with? What would you say, what was the greatest experience in receiving these gifts from this church?
The greatest experience is seeing women's lives being transformed just because of handing out these clothes. I want you to look at this picture. This is a woman that is homeless. She sleeps on the street. And when I handed out that dress to her that day, you know, she took the dress and she shoved it into her breast. And she said, I need to hide this because someone else will come and take it away from me. While I sleep, and it made a very big difference in their lives.
Right.
Very, very big difference.
Wow. So there are lots of stories that you can share with the church, right? And, you know, just being part of this whole process from A to Z and everything in between, God has a way of connecting people and connecting people with you know, whether it be the handing over of gifts and whatever it is, God has been amazing. So you also received a donation, you know, a couple of dollars that you, what did you do with those, that money that you have received? I think it's the very last slide on this one.
Yes.
If we could just go to the very last slide. And what are you doing with this picture? The one before this, please. It's not on there.
Okay, it's not on there. My sister can say amen to what I'm about to say. This year, the beginning of this year, we've been praying, and I said, Lord, please, you must open up a door for us, and we need some tools, you know, to continue our projects. And when we received your precious gift, we could buy some materials so that our ladies can continue with this sewing. So a big thank you. A big, big thank you. We really appreciate
it. Right. Thank you. All right, Joan, I'm going to hand over to you, and for the remainder of the service, please share with us what God has laid on your heart. Thank you so much.
Before I start, can I just take a moment to show you what we are busy doing? Pastor? Is that fine? Now, when I started this project with the ladies, we had no material at all. And I prayed about it, and one day a lady just opposite where we gather, she came knocking on the door and she said, I've got some material here for you. Can you use it? It's just small pieces. So I said, anything, anything. And she brought it to us, and the first thing that I shared with our lady, that I showed our ladies to do, was the pin cushions, and we did it by hand. We had no machines at all. And you know, we took those materials, and I showed them how to make these bags by hand. Everything on here is sewn, just pieces put together. And I think Pastor showed the group the paper vases that we do, and just to keep them busy and to sell it and to get an income. And then someone blessed us with some painting, with some fabric paint. And this is what I taught our ladies to do. And another way of selling, earning an income. And this is a toilet set, and it's done with ribbon, also done by hand, and then just sewed together. So these are ways of how our unemployed ladies earn an income. And I am so blessed to be involved, in missions. Before we start, I would like us to stand, and I would like us to pray. Before we pray, I would like us to turn our Bibles to Isaiah 60, verses 1. From verses 1 to verse 4. Isaiah 61 to 3. So I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to share about my experiences that I had over the years. It's Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The year of the Lord's favor is the heading. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, instead of mourning and a garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Pastor Wall, will you pray for us, please? At the age of 16, I accepted the Lord as my personal savior. And before I accepted the Lord as my personal savior, I always had a desire to serve the Lord and wanting to become a nun. I always admired them. And not realizing that God, that desire that God has instilled in my heart, that God prepared me for ministry. And then I got married to my husband, who is a pastor. And we experienced beautiful times in our ministry. I also became the NMI president of our merged district when the blacks, the whites, the coloreds, and the Indians, when we merged when apartheid, in the time when we had apartheid, we had all different churches, but when apartheid was gone, we all merged together, and I became, and they elected me as the NMI president. It wasn't easy, but you know, it's amazing how God brings people together. And then for 43 years, we have been in ministry. And when my husband and I got married, I left home from Cape Town to Johannesburg, knowing nobody, and having to meet my father-in-law, who I've never met, because of my husband becoming a Christian also at the age of 16, his father wrote him off completely. He's beaten up on my husband in such a way that the doctors wanted to make a case against my father-in-law and have him put in prison. But you know, my husband loved him so much and said he is not willing to do that. And when it took me to introduce myself to his father, the first thing he said, please, when my father beats up on me, don't say anything. Don't say anything. His father used to wait for him at church, coming out of church in front of the congregation. He would be beaten on. But he loved his father unconditionally. And I remember when he knocked on the door, my father-in-law's wife opened the door and said, Rashidin is here. And he never came to the door, but she invited us in. And he sat on the couch reading his newspaper, not responding to my husband. And very boldly, I went to him and I said, good afternoon, Dad. And I kissed him on his cheek. And his whole attitude changed, his whole attitude. And he got up and he took me to his backyard, showing me the fruit trees. And he went into his room and he gave me a beautiful a clock as a gift. And just there, things changed for the better. It's a very long story, but I don't want to focus on that now. All I want to make us mindful that God still performs miracles, and that God answers prayer, and that God answers prayer. And I remember leaving home. We were not a wealthy family, but we had food to eat every day. And my mother, when my husband came to ask me to ask for marriage, these were the words of my father. Joan does not know what it is to go to bed without food. But if she sees fit to go into ministry, then I give her my blessing. Not knowing what I'm going in for. When I got married, traveling 102,000 miles, kilometers from Cape Town to Johannesburg. When I came, I didn't even have a bed to sleep on. But I loved the Lord so much. And that didn't bother me. And I remember telling my family after many, many years, I think it's about 10 years ago, for the first time, I shared with them what my husband and I went through in ministry. And we made a vow that we're not going to tell our parents. We're not going to tell anybody. We are totally going to be dependent upon God. You know, I was so excited about ministry that those things did not bother me. But God is a God that answers prayer. It wasn't long after that God blessed us with a second-hand bedroom suite, and I was so proud of my bedroom suite and the bed that I could sleep on. And there things just started happening. And this morning, I'm going to take you on a journey. So I said, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to take you on a journey of God's amazing grace, and that God is still in the business of performing miracles. Do you believe in miracles this morning? I believe in miracles, because these stories, that testimonies that I'm going to share with you, is not what I read in a book. It's what I've experienced personally. The first miracle that I experienced was my father-in-law accepting his son again. And then the second miracle was a baby that was busy dying. And I want to challenge out to the two ladies that were at the altar that we still serve a God that healeth. We still serve a God that healeth. I think it is John 4, verse 46, that's when a nobleman whose son was on the point of death was healed. And God is still in the business of healing. When I became a Christian, I doubted God can heal. And the reason for that was we had a healing service in our church. I was a very young Christian. And this certain pastor that ministered, he was not a pastor from the Church of the Nazarene. He called people up to come for healing. And I was so excited. One was in a wheelchair, and this person got up, and this person started walking and prayed for other people who got healed. And our pastor never allowed us to go and visit other churches. And then he had to go and preach at another denomination, and we asked our pastor, please, I would like to experience this again. And he gave us permission to go and see what is happening. And you know, to my disappointment, when he called the people up for healing, the very same people came up again. And that made me very doubtful that God doesn't heal. But you know, God is an amazing God. A knock came on our door in the first year of our ministry. And one of our members came and said, Pastor, one of our neighbors is devastated. The baby's busy dying. For 2 weeks, the baby couldn't eat, and doctors gave up hope. And we got ourselves ready, and we went to pray for this little baby and a young pastor's wife, and very excited. I want to see how God can heal, because he says in his word that he's a God that healeth. And my husband prayed, and nothing happened, and we left. Another disappointment. And you know, as he came to the gate, he said, Joan, God revealed something to me now, and I need to go back. And when he shared what God revealed to him, I said, Daddy, you can't. You don't know these people. You can't ask them what you are telling me. And he went back and he asked Bertha, I will never forget her name. Bertha, did you take the child to the witch doctor? Did they give you any medicine? And she screamed and she said, Pastor, how do you know this? How do you know this? And my husband said, I believe that God can heal this child. And God is a jealous God. When he wants to do something, he wants to do it alone. Are you prepared to destroy that? And she said, yes, Pastor. And they had a coal stove in their house, and she threw it in the fire, and it burned. And then my husband took the baby again and prayed a very simple prayer. A very simple prayer. And when my husband said, amen, the child responded by saying, Mommy, give me a piece of bread. Give me a piece of bread. And she took the baby and she ran across the street to her mom and said, Mommy, see what God has done. What God has done. And she came back, and God gave me an opportunity to witness to her. And she accepted the Lord into her life. Into her life. The following day, her husband came, and he too said he wants to accept the Lord as his personal Savior. But you know, when they came to our house, Bertha said, Pastor, I want you to know, my husband wants to accept the Lord, but I am not prepared to live with him in the same bedroom. And my husband said, but now, it's your husband, why not? It doesn't mean because you're saved, you must live separate lives. So she said, no, we've never been married. And being a young pastor's wife, I still had my wedding cake. They got married, and we celebrated their wedding. The most beautiful Christians they are today. The most beautiful Christians. God is still in the business of transforming lives and performing miracles. And the other thing I want to just share with us, her husband was one of the biggest gangsters. When people came down the street, they gave way when he came. When he walks in the street. But God changed his life completely. God changed his life completely. And then another miracle was when I received a call. And this is something that that has shown me that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's God's Holy Spirit when God performs miracles. I received a call from one of our members who have drifted away. And she said, Sister Joan, I know I don't come to church anymore, but here's a crisis. This Muslim woman wants to commit suicide. And I say to myself, it's not about Sally Ann who has drifted away from church. It's all about this woman, to save this woman's life. And when I came there, I asked her, why do you want to commit suicide? You've got such a beautiful home. You've got your own car. You've got everything going for you. And she said, I got involved in an occult, and medicine were given to her that she had to give to her husband and to her children. And she said she too had to take this medicine, and she almost went off her head. She almost went off her head. And the voice kept on telling her, you need to kill yourself. You need to kill yourself. And she became so sick. I think, I don't know what size 44 in the American sizes, but she wore a very, very big size. And this medicine destroyed her completely, that she wore a size 8. That is how thin she became. And you know, I prayed for her. And I said, before I'm going to pray for you, all I can do is to present Jesus Christ to you. And she accepted the Lord as a personal savior. And God healed her completely. She started picking up weight again, to a point where she said, Lord, please stop. Please stop now. Please stop now. But you know, the miracle was, she was afraid to tell her husband that she accepted the Lord as a personal savior. And I shared our testimony of my husband, how faithful God is. And I told her, I said, I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to wait on God to tell us this is the right time for me to come to your husband and tell him that you accepted the Lord as your personal savior. And you know, to our amazement, when I told him that your wife invited Jesus Christ into her life, into her life, she said, his response was, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I don't know your God, but it's your God that brought about healing in my wife's life, and I got my wife back. He too accepted the Lord as his personal savior. His children accepted the Lord as their personal savior. And through that one Muslim woman's testimony, 23 ladies that were caught up in witchcraft became Christians. That is how faithful our God is. That is how faithful our God is. Coming back to women, we had a ladies' camp. And I remember she was a Reverend Zwani, very short pastor. She was supposed to minister to us. And we did a lot of praying. And that is why I say prayer performs miracles. And we were praying for women's lives to be transformed. And through singing, only through singing, revival took place. I can still picture some of the ladies that were not saved sitting under a tree, running into the church, calling upon the name of God to be saved. It's a very, very long story. But going back to our church, sharing our testimonies, I have heard about revival, but I've never experienced revival. Just through the testimonies of women's lives that were transformed, the Holy Spirit came down upon us. And people started asking for, families started asking for forgiveness. People's lives were being transformed. Also without preaching, Reverend Moonsami, I don't know if you remember Reverend Moonsami, he's also in America today. He was our speaker. He could not speak. He could not preach for the entire week. The Holy Spirit just took control. But the most beautiful part that we experienced was people getting off the bus in front of our church. The presence of the Lord was so tangible. They ran into the church and said, we don't know what's happening, but I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And I remember one person, Mr. Stanger, he took ill and he was hospitalized and he was supposed to be readmitted to hospital the Wednesday. And he asked for prayer, And he said the doctors gave up hope on him because he's busy dying. And my husband prayed for him. And he said, I need to go back to hospital, but I'm going to tell them, Wednesday, I want to come back to church just to say thank you to the Lord for the beautiful experience that he had. And he went back to hospital and asked the doctor's permission if he could go to church the Wednesday evening. And the doctor said, if you reach that gate and something happens to you, we are not responsible. And he said, I'm going to take that chance. I am going to take that chance. And he came to prayer meeting. He was prayed for. He was anointed. And he went back to hospital. And they did the test again. Praise be to God. There was no sign of what the doctors diagnosed him with. And Jesus healed him completely. Jesus healed him completely. My personal testimony this morning, being so blessed, being elected as NMI representative for Africa, I came to Kansas City on my second meeting, sitting at the airport, Chicago airport. My vision just disappeared completely, knowing nobody. I said, Lord, I just got out of the plane. And I said, Lord, I don't know anybody. Just give me the strength and help me to get to a place where I can sit down. And God answered my prayer. And I sat down and I prayed and I said, Lord, you know I'm alone and I need to take the next flight to Kansas City. And my vision came back again. The same thing happened in one of our meetings, not telling anybody what I'm experiencing. Again, I prayed, and this was my prayer. Lord, just help me to get home. And when I got home, I shared with my husband what happened, and we went to the doctor, and the first thing they did, they sent me for x-rays and discovered that I was diagnosed with sarcoidosis, and that affects your eyes. The first thing they did, they sent me for eye test. But the doctors also said there's no cure for that. It affects all your joints and your lungs. And they wanted to do a biopsy and said if air goes into my lungs, they are not responsible. And then both my husband and I decided if there's no cure, if there's no medication, then I'm going to trust God for healing. And it went on for years. I had to go for x-rays every year because it goes from first, second to the third stage. And every month I had to go for x-rays without medication. And it was November, I will never forget the month, I went for another checkup. And the doctor asked me, who's the patient? You know, after my x-rays came back. And he asked me, who's the patient? And I said, I am. So he said, but there's nothing wrong with you. Up till today, God has healed me. And I stand here with a grateful heart, giving praise to our Lord and our Savior. And I want to say to our sisters this morning, you know, that came out for prayer. God doesn't, he says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. In one instant, God healed that baby immediately. But God took me through a process before I experienced healing. God says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. But he doesn't say when, and he doesn't say how he's going to heal us. But I believe in healing. I believe in healing. Coming back to our scripture reading that I read this morning, God says in his word, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And there are so many broken people today. And you know, if we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, and if God has anointed us to preach good tidings, God can use us in a mighty way. Before my husband retired, at our last church, we had our worship team, and there was one particular lady. She was very vibrant, very excited for the Lord. And through that joy that she portrayed, I saw hurt in her. And I told my husband, I said, I don't know what it is, but we need to pray for this particular woman. And it wasn't long after that, a knock came on our door. And she said, Sister Joan, I don't know you, but I feel I need to open up to you. And you know what she shared with me was very, very, very sad. She said from the age of 3, she was abused by her father. She told her mother, but the mother did not want to accept it. And she said her husband doesn't even know about it. But I feel I need to let go of the hatred and the hurt that I have within my heart. And I prayed with her. And she asked me to pray with her to go and face her father. To go and face her father. And we prayed about the situation. And when God led us, this is the right time to go, we went. And you know, she sat in the car and she was so afraid. What is a mother going to say, bringing the pastor and his wife there? And I told her, I said, you know what? If God wanted us to go and see your dad, God has already gone before us. God has already gone before us. And we couldn't find the place. We just couldn't find the place. And then my husband stopped the car and we prayed and we said, Lord, please help us to find the house that we are looking for. And then someone came and we asked, and we stopped right in front of the house where her father lived. This was an amazing experience. She went in and she said, Dad, I'm here today just to tell you that I forgive you, that I forgive you. And she said, there's something I want to do. I did not know what it was as a child to jump on my mother's bed or to just hold you as my dad, to give you a hug as my dad, to hold my mother. I've never experienced that. But today I want to give you a hug. Today I want to hold my mom. And you know, as big as she was, she asked permission. Can I go into the bedroom? And she got onto the bed and she jumped on the bed. She jumped on the bed. And coming out of the room, she sat on the couch, you know, with her feet on the couch. And she said, I feel like a little child today. I feel like a little child today. But God brought about healing in her life that day. God brought about healing. And that is what missions is about. Making a difference in people's lives. Healing the brokenhearted. Setting the captives free. And God is still in the business of performing miracles. God is still in the business of transforming lives. There's a theme that I love, and I'm sure you know the theme that we had for our mission some years ago. It says, others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. Missions is all about others. God has saved us for a purpose, to bring hope to the hopeless and those who are bound, to let them know that God is able to transform and to change their lives completely. And this is my challenge to us this morning. The stories, the testimonies that I shared, I don't know with what hurt you are sitting here or what you are facing right now. My challenge to you is this morning, take God on His word. His word is powerful, and his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is what I based my Christian life on, was prayer and the word of God, and the word of God. And something even greater, the blood of Jesus. And you know, when I dealt with the ladies that was bound by Satan, all I could do and plead was the blood of Jesus over me, and the blood of Jesus is against the powers of darkness, is against the powers of darkness. And may God help us. God has saved us for a purpose, not just to come to church every day, to be fed spiritually, but to go out and let the world know that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus is able to make a difference in their lives. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, June, for sharing. God calls us to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted, and we're so thankful to hear how God has worked in your life and these miracles. Would you stand as we pray together today? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your grace and your love and your power to change lives, your powers to redeem, your powers to heal, your power to cleanse, your power to forgive, your power, God, to reach into the lives of people all around the world and touch them and change them by your grace, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate today the power of Jesus. We thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege to be in this place and hear the scripture, God, that you call the church, you call Christians to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. And Lord, wherever that's at, whatever nation, whatever city, whatever community, whether it's in Mifflinburg or in Cape Town, South Africa, God, your grace and your power to change lives is so real, and we thank you for that today. We thank you for the ministry of Joan and those that work with her in South Africa, God. We pray that she would continue to have opportunity to love women and children and young people and guide them and teach them and train them and point them toward Jesus. God, we pray for this ministry. We pray, God, for your hand on Joan and on her family and all those that work with these women, Lord. We will never know them personally, God, probably, but you do, and you love every one of them. We pray for them today. We pray for Joan. We pray for her ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.